First of all, I must apologize for taking so long to set up this interview because the album came out in April and I absolutely loved it. I don't know if you heard our show where we reviewed it, and I was just like, this could easily be my album of the year. So it's
Cheers,
just
man.
taken so long to get to talk to you. So thanks, guys, for your time, first and foremost. And it's quite funny as well because today you've just announced that you're releasing the album as an instrumental in October.
Yeah, October 6th.
Nice, nice. And you did the same for Echoes as well.
Yeah.
Any reason for the instrumental?
Well, I mean, there's a few. Originally, the band was supposed to be instrumental. And after we released Echoes and how the way we did, like with vocals and everything, we had a number of fans ask us if we would be releasing instrumental. So I mean, there's people on both sides that want to hear both versions. So it's just like with the first album, just wait a few months and then release the other version of it for other folks that might enjoy the different format. So
Keeps people engaged too, when you kind of stagger things like that, it's a reason for people that might have listened a couple times to come back to the record too. And in today's day and age when there's so many good bands putting out records all the time, it's like you're really fighting for eardrums, and it's a good way to keep people engaged.
it's so funny how you mentioned that the band started as instrumental, because when we reviewed the album, I said it could easily be an album without vocals because the music is so good. Like, at what stage did you decide to add vocals? Because they're sparse, or there's more instrument than vocals, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, I mean, and that's the exact same reason for it, is there's a sparse because it's meant to be more focused on the musical actual instrumental aspect of it. But we decided to go with vocals earlier on. Christian was, I believe, the first person I asked to come play with me when I was first starting to write. And we've been playing with his band for many years, like in the local scene, and we knew that he had like a really rare sound to his growls and stuff like that. He always reminded me a lot of Michael Akerfeldt, which is kind of hard to come by in just the local scene in general. So I offered to him if he wanted to sing on this project eventually, and he was like, sure. So we ended up using his voice, but like I said, there's not a lot of it. It's not intertwined all over these songs because it was never meant to be. So it's
And
just used sparingly, but I feel like blast beats in metal in general, if you use them sparingly, they definitely have much more impact, and that's how I approach like vocals in this band too.
yeah, that makes perfect sense. And the vocals are brilliant on it. Like, the Mikael Akerfeldt didn't really click with me till you said it. So Echoes compared to Air and Amphoras are two really solid albums in my opinion, like proper. And usually, when a band releases their first album, it's always a difficult second album or sophomore album. Like, did you feel any anxiety when going into writing Air Not Meant For Us that you couldn't potentially match your debut?
Yeah, I mean, there was that pressure since the beginning because I mean, it's one of the first things we talked about going into starting to work on the follow-up record, is that I remember we would say this all the time, like sophomore albums are sink or swim for a lot of bands. So I mean, that was an immense amount of pressure. Like any subsequent album is naturally pressured to rise above the previous one. I mean, at least for me, I never want to put out or write like two overly similar albums. So But yeah, no, that was a really big thing.
The mindset was completely different too, because with Echoes, we had no expectations. We were going in thinking we were doing a studio project and that this was just kind of a fun thing amongst friends. And, got picked up by Prosthetic. We had a good response to Echoes. Then there was a lot more pressure, I think, for Air because we had to follow it up right. But I also think there was more of a sense of identity where we kind of knew our sound, we knew where we fit. And I think that sense of purpose drove us through the process to be professional, to play hard, and to make sure that every piece of feeling that we had was left on the tape for people to hear.
Do you think this album solidified you more in terms of songwriting and to more of an extent your playing abilities as a band?
That's kind of hard to say because I mean historically I think about all well, the previous pieces of music that I worked on and every album kind of tends to grow and progress and evolve, so it's hard to say that it solidified anything. I think it definitely like a point in evolution for the band for sure, but I think I can honestly say that the third record is not gonna sound, like this one either. I mean, there's a lot of elements that will be carried over, but it's gonna go through its own process of evolution as well, because that's just historically how things have happened with my writing. So, I can't exactly say what it's gonna be because I don't know yet. But.
I mean, you've left a trail of breadcrumbs for me there, so I'm going to ask the question then. What is the third album potentially? You said it's going to be different. Like, how different? Like,
I can't say. That's the thing.
yeah,
I have no idea because this is something that just happens on its own. It's a natural progression because I'm gonna go into it writing, something that's like with Echoes and Air in the back of my mind as well. I'm gonna be writing things that don't sound, too close to those records. And I'm curious myself where that's going to lead, but I have no clue. I haven't started writing much yet. I mean, there's a few things here and there, but still really early, so.
you're going to go down like the Opeth post-Watershed and go full dad rock.
No, I don't see myself straying too far from my root influences, but just adding more to it for sure.
Yeah,
going to
and just
ask.
where we are in the timing too, it's like we just put this record out a few months ago. We have to promote it. This is the first time we've released a record as Fires without COVID in the background, so we can actually tour and play some shows and take it out on the road for a bit. So, I've learned in playing with Igor, the writing will come, but there's no reason to force it right now.
How hard was COVID? Like, because there was a few bands that released albums like in March 2020, and it was just obviously no one could foresee it, but it was the worst time possible because you've got this brilliant new record out, your debut, excited, probably had shows booked, I imagine, and then it all came down. Like, how frustrating or annoying was that for you guys?
I think it was perfect. Everybody
Really?
was pissed off because it's like we all thought we were going to be locked up for 2 weeks and this was 6 months into lockdown. I mean, I remember thinking, at least to myself before this came out, I'm like, man, this record's really dark. It's really mournful. I hope people can connect to it. And everything was fucking dark and mournful in September of 2020. So I think the timing was perfect in terms of when we dropped it as a release, but obviously, it set us back a year or so as a live band. And that's one thing that we've learned is the process of recording and releasing a record, any success you take from that does not carry over into booking live shows. So we've kind of had to build up. It's like I almost feel like our record and our following is up here, and we're kind of playing catch up a bit on our live stuff. So, but that's just my opinion, and that could change over time.
And then, so obviously, this your latest album was released in April this year, and I, like I said, didn't get a chance to speak to you, but it's quite good because 5 months down the line, I'm really interested to know what reception you've got off the back of it. Now, obviously, you're in the States, but I'm more interested to hear about overseas, whether you've had much reaction from there.
Yeah, I mean, it's in today's day and age, you've got stats on your listeners, and it's like when I look on Spotify, the top cities are like Helsinki, Oslo, London, Stockholm. So I think the European following has been probably equal to the following in the US. I mean, I've never been to mainland Europe, but it seems more metal than the US, so it wouldn't surprise me. But I would say that it seems to be equal.
And Igor yourself, have you noticed any, stats like that?
I usually don't really follow stats. That's more
Okay.
Craig's thing, and he tells me down the pipeline what state we're in, I guess. And I take it for what it is, but I notice more, when we do get to play shows, the reception live and people coming up and like, asking questions after the shows and like shaking hands and things like that. So I mean, that's been very warm and kind so far. So I mean, I gauge our success based off of that personally.
And in like I've only been to New York for like a weekend away, so I'm not known all the states of America, but like what is the metal scene like in your home city? Like is it big? And because America is such a big place, there's so many people, so many cities and stuff that, does the East Coast have a massive metal following the West Coast? Like
East Coast, yeah,
it's
but the state we live in is one of the smallest states in the country.
Okay. But do you
There's a
have
good metal
to
scene here, though.
that
I
yeah,
mean,
that's
there,
what
yeah, we've made a lot of friends over the years, and this state is really our launch pad. So, we've got a lot of good things to say about the other bands we've shared the stage with, and the venues that have supported us for decades. At least personally, I think that the metal scene is better in rural parts of the East Coast and of the country in general. Playing in places like New York City, there's just so much going on. You're competing with everything else. And sometimes we found the best turnouts to be little podunk towns that you might not imagine would have a good show.
And have you played New York a lot? Have you played it at all?
We've played upstate New York a bit. We've played New York City once. Well, I guess twice if you count outside New Jersey, but believe it or not, the turnout's usually been better upstate.
Okay. And for a band like yourself, touring wise, like we said, it's a very big country. Have you tours set up for the rest of the year over in the West? That's right, isn't it? Yeah, the West Coast. And like for a band like yourselves, do you just get in a van and drive, or would you book flights and all that sort of jazz?
Well, balancing it out with our personal and professional lives, I think
Mm.
that, what we're doing in October to the Midwest to the South, that's drivable. That's 12, 14 hours of driving. It's not ideal, but it's very doable. We have been toying with the idea of doing the West Coast or maybe UK for 2024,
Wow.
but we would have to fly in either way because you're losing about a week of time. If you choose to drive, and obviously it's an added expense, but you do the math. If you have more hours on the clock, if you will, you can justify the cost. And I think we'd be less behind if we flew out and rented a van and did that rather than driving out west, and starting in Los Angeles and going north or something of the sort.
So the UK, you thought about it, had the label like put to you about touring the UK, or is it more of your aspirations as a band?
Well, we're trying to lay the groundwork, and again, this is all in the planning phase, and this could all change in a month or two. But from the feelers that we have sent out, it seems like we're getting a warmer response to consider the UK. It seems like we're having an easier time to find a co-headlining band, and there seems to be a better potential buzz about it. So far, I think it's been the path of least resistance.
That's fantastic to hear. And like I said, I haven't been to a concert in America, but European crowds, every metal show I've been to are just so energetic and loving of the band. So I really hope you get a chance to come over because that would be wicked. Co-headline run as well would be amazing. And if you could make Ireland, that would be even better. So I'll get on to Will Collins at Prosthetic and make that happen.
Please do. Yeah. Any leads for promoters or just good people to know? We have connected with some bands in Ireland and Northern Ireland, so
Okay.
we're setting the feelers out, and we're trying to get our senses set for maybe sometime in 24, but something we got to work out.
I just off the top of my head thinking then a co-headline tour with Rannoch. Have you ever heard of Rannoch? That
No,
would be
I
it. That
haven't.
would be I'll send it to you after the link and you can check them out. I think that would be a perfect one. Not to set up a tour here for you, but any little helps.
No, it all helps.
What is a typical live show? So I follow you on Instagram and I saw you playing an outdoor gig or festival the other day. And it was a very focused gig. Is that what you're like on stage as a band? Are you, is it because the songs are so long that you're just focused in the moment?
Partially, yes. I mean, there's components to like our live set that I still want to work out as far as visualizations and incorporating like projectors and things like that. Just because, like you said, we do have a lot of open parts where it's just drums and piano and strings and stuff like that, where the electric instruments aren't really doing anything. So that's a work in progress for sure. That particular gig, and right now I'm dealing with an injury, so I couldn't move around too much. I was
Okay.
kind of like planted on that floor monitor there, and that was my comfort zone. But yeah, for sure, our music is more like it. There's energy to it, but it's slower flowing. It's not like, if there was a blast beat behind us, there'd be a lot more like moving around, and you feel more of a fire with you for sure. But with this kind of stuff, you just gotta feel it out. Like, at least for me, I don't run around too much on stage. I'm more focused on. I'm kind of in a bubble when I play anyway. Our singer kind of is in his own world. He likes to headbang all over the place, as you can see in that video. And Craig kind of does his own thing. I mean, there's certain things that we've worked out over the last 2 years, like depending on the stage, if we have room enough to move, because some stages we play are like 10 feet, there's barely any room to move around at all. But on something larger, like we don't necessarily choreograph or anything, but there's certain parts of songs where we know where we'll leave Christian to do his vocals, and Craig and I might go in the back and like play with our drummer Jordan a little bit just to get the focus on him. So I mean, there's certain like things like that, but it is partially like you said as well. I mean, the songs are so long, it's kind of hard to work out a routine there.
So you're still working through that, and production-wise as well. I mean, the obvious question, pyro at Fires and Distance show in the future has to be done, surely.
Yeah, I mean, I think that was and we loved playing RPM Fest. The people that threw that were incredible. It was an awesome festival. We're a nighttime band, you know what I mean? Like the lights with the atmosphere and that sort of thing, I think really capture the vibe much more of our shows. So I would say that, if you look through our back post on our Instagram and Facebook or whatever social media you do, I think some of the better setups that we've had are really ones with kind of corresponding lights to really capture the vibe and the atmosphere and just kind of make it more of a, more moody, for lack of a better term.
Sorry, the festival's called RPM, was that right?
Yep,
And who
correct.
else played on that? Was it explain to me, was it an all-day thing or?
It was a multi-day fest. So the headlining bands were like King Parrot from Australia,
Wow.
Weed Eater from North Carolina, Avesta from Massachusetts, but they did a really good job kind of incorporating bands from the area with some pretty big acts that were coming in from overseas and in other parts of the country.
And it didn't get washed out like Blue Ridge. Was that
No,
it was dry?
It was super clean. Like security was top notch. Like I woke up at 4 in the morning and I'm sleeping in my car. I was, walking to the restroom. Security's like, "Hey man, where are you going? You need a ride?" I'm like, "No, I'm just going right there." And they're like, "Oh, that's a shame. You could have had a ride with a true American hero here." So they were having a blast, but they were also taking care of people too to make sure like nobody was passed out anywhere, hurt, that sort of thing.
That's great.
Yeah.
The you also did a live album, or sorry, live in the studio. Live, is it Telefunken? Is that right?
Yes.
Which I absolutely loved, by the way. I think recorded like that sounded massive. Not to dismiss the album either, but just when it came out like that. So I suppose two-part question. Any plans to do it for the latest release, or to a live show album down the line?
I mean, most likely to a live show. A production like that to do with like to do again with air, I don't know if that would be practical, but to do it in a live setting, if we could find a place like along the way to record on stage during a performance, I think that's more of a realistic thing that we can approach for sure.
Yeah,
That
that
would
was
be.
for the Slay at Home Festival through Metal Injection. And, again, we couldn't do anything live because this was November or December of 2020, I think. And obviously we couldn't play live, but it's if you look at the studio cost to rent the place out, to bring the engineer up, to mix it, everything, we probably could have toured for a week or two. So there's certainly no regrets at the time, but every record is a snapshot in time. And the live at Telefunken was really a snapshot of a band that had been rehearsing, had been finding our groove as a unit, and we had nowhere to play. So it was awesome to be able to do that online festival, but also get a whole live recording of the whole record.
Yeah, like I said, if anyone's watching this and you haven't heard it, listen to the two albums side by side. It just sounds massive. It's incredible. And coming on to the sound of the album now, your producer, I really don't want to try and get his name wrong. Randy, what's his surname?
It's actually
Our
Dave
producer.
Kaminsky. Sorry, Hugo,
Oh,
go
sorry.
ahead.
Randy Slaw was a co-producer. He was responsible for the live strings and orchestrations and some of the co-writing on most of the songs. So, the actual engineer was Dave Kaminsky that handled the entire record.
Okay, but Randy, from his point of view, did he have, as a co-producer, did he have much impact or input to the stylings of your making the record, or was it left to the engineer?
Not really. With Randy, it was more of a writing process. Like for example, like I would send him everything that I had, all my pre-production here as far as like scratch guitars, like all the synths that I programmed, things like that, and he would add his own like bit of magic to it that he's very skillful at. And we would go back and forth. Like if one part was too much, we would consolidate. If we needed a little bit more color and like another part, he would definitely work with me on that. As far as getting the album together, I mean that's more on Dave's side when we're recording in person for sure. I mean he's a great guide as far as like getting the best takes out of all of us. But when we're ready to go into the studio, everything is already been set in place for weeks, if not months at a time. So we're going in there just to lay down the actual concrete work. Like there's no, not a lot of questions that go around. It's just like you come in to actually perform and get that done, and then you're ready to go. Like the preparation process is very lengthy for these albums.
And we can't underestimate or understate Dave's role in that. He's making sure that everything is set to go day one. He's got the tracks preloaded. He's really driving us for 10 to 14 hours a day to make sure we're getting the best representations of us. And Dave, I couldn't imagine doing a record without him. He's always been helpful. He's always been involved, and he really takes pride in his work, and he does not half-ass any records he does. So he really drives that recording process. So he comes to my mind in terms of engineering, production, and just that counsel you really need when you're making a record, to have somebody who's a little bit disinterested in it, but also knows how to get the best takes out of you.
I wouldn't say
And
disinterested. It's just more of an
well, you know what
outside
I
ear
mean.
that is not as used to the material, that can come at it with a less personal opinion.
Yeah, maybe a better way of saying it is he doesn't have the blinds of a performer, you know? You get bogged down in the studio when you're crunching through however many songs in a day, but he's staying with you the whole way.
And as a band yourselves in the studio, who is there any perfectionist amongst you where you're sort of he might say that's a good take, you're not happy, or you might listen to the track after and you're like, no, let's go re-record it. Or like you were saying, Igor, you're all nailed down with the tracks before you go in and it's just pretty much simple.
Well, I mean, we do like extensively prepare, but the thing is, once you hit the record button, all of your preparation and skills are out the window. It's depending, I don't know, for me it's just like the I'm just, it's just some people can go in the studio and just record like in one or two takes, like it's not a problem. For me, it's like once I hear the metronome counting down, I'm just like, all months of work, it's just that doesn't matter. So Dave is like really good in that sense, where he will he will tell you when you're not quite there, and you'll just, even if you think that you are, and you'll keep doing it over and over and over. And then it's also on us as well, in the sense where if I record something that I don't feel like that's what I want on the album, and he will tell me like, no, that sounds perfectly fine, like I will push back as well, and like until I get something that I want to hear. So it's a, it's like it's a team effort for sure. But we only get to record these albums once in a lifetime, so it's, you got to approach it like that. It's like, if you're not happy with something, then you can't let it go, because that's what it's going to be like forever if you just leave it. So
Yeah, the pain of listening to a part that annoys you is far worse than the temporary pain of having to redo something a few times when you're recording.
yeah, I can imagine. And then, so once you've recorded it, especially like Memphros, you finished recording, it was mixed, it was mastered, and I don't know whether you all got together and sat down and had a listening party or whatever as a band. Like, after the process was done, when you had the finished article, how happy were you with it?
It's always like a birthday, man. You know what I mean? It's like, well, release dates are typically, but like listening to the album for the first time is sort of as well. It's just like, well, couple of years of work and preparation, you get to hear, completed and just ready to present to the world. And it's, I don't know, it's an amazing feeling. You only get, once, and then you get sick of it. And then you never want to hear it again.
Yeah. Are you at that stage yet? Are you sick of it and now you
Oh, I've
want
been
to
sick of it for the last 2 years.
go for
Yeah.
the next one?
We had a long wait. I mean, honestly, if you've ever played Legend of Zelda, it's like, you're in your Temple of Time there, just waiting for the time to pass for this to release. We had the set May of 2022, but with vinyl shortages and everything being back ordered, Prosthetic really wasn't even ready to get the vinyl for the pressings until late that year. And much to EJ's credit, he was just like, guys, I don't want you to put out a record in January and have it get buried. Like, we should really push it back to April, where I think it's going to be a better time for release. So it sucked, but I mean, I think the guidance was sound, and I think it was a good decision in hindsight.
So it was delayed nearly a year. It was supposed to be out in May,
Yeah.
did you say? Wow,
Yeah,
that's
11 months.
incredible.
11 months from the time when it was finished, just to get everything set.
Man, that must have been painful to sit there
Yeah.
on this finished thing and being like, just want to get it out into the world. Oh man.
It felt like a big secret that you just couldn't tell anybody, but you just wanted to tell everybody. So it's like, you got your friends and your family like, hey, take a listen to this. What do you think? And then, yeah, 11 months is a long time to wait, but luckily that time has passed.
I mean, it was worth the wait anyway, in my opinion. And just final question for you two fine gents, and I'll put you both on the spot now. Out of the two albums, which is your favorite?
For me, it's Air for sure.
Okay.
But that just might be because it's the newest one. Like I always look back on older works of pieces that I've written with just like a lot of criticism. So the most recent one is spared the most intense criticism. So I think that's the process for me.
For me, it's Air
It'll
Not
come.
Meant for Us as well, because it's just the culmination of where we are as friends and musicians. With Igor especially, we've been playing music together since we were teenagers. So to come along this far and to have a record that, I mean, we're immensely proud of, that we put a lot of work into, and we've kind of been able to see the growth over time. I guess they're more stepping stones in some ways than they are favorites, but I'm really happy with how far we've come. I'm glad that a few people have found some enjoyment in it, and I'm looking forward to seeing what's next.
Me too. And I'm really hoping for the UK tour, if at all possible. I know it's not easy for you guys, but I mean, if I could go to the States for a weekend and see you play, it's easier said than done. But I'm really looking forward to the third Dad Rock album that you're going to be releasing. So I can't wait. And guys, I wish you best of luck on the tour, and hopefully, I'll get to speak to you on album number three when that drops. But,
Yeah, we'd be happy to.
gents, thank you
Thanks
so
a
much
lot,
for your
man.
time.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I'll talk to you soon.